from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Yeah, Big Ten Media Day is underway. A couple big interviews here on The Fan today. Yogi Roth and some Wisconsin fatty. I don't know. He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee Butterhogs.
Oh, look. Taking shots at the Butterhogs.
Well, look, Wisconsin, it's like a source of pride for them. The big fat offensive linemen, they love that.
Why do we have to be fat?
Well, the Wisconsin ones are.
Why can't we be svelte?
Because you're not. You're all a bunch of fat asses. And it's great.
It hurts. That hurts.
But anyway, rough day for Swag out at Big Ten Media Day. Mm. He's going to hopefully bounce back tomorrow.
We're looking for a rebound.
With some more interviews. Yeah. But slim pickings
today. Well, we're blowing out Colin tomorrow, so I think the pressure really is on Swag.
Danny and Dusty are doing 5 hours tomorrow.
Yeah. So if it's 5 hours and Swag produces Bubkiss, that's going to be a rough look.
They did have the Ohio State AD, Ross Bjork, mm-hmm. sit down at their table, mm-hmm. or our table.
Yeah.
And then he got up and left.
Oh. okay. Well, it's a bit awkward.
Swag charm couldn't hold him, huh?
Well, and I did see Swag tweeted out a photo of our table, and, you know, can he not? Do you see what he did there with the logo?
Here's the situation.
Well, yes, I tweeted at him. I'm like, dude.
Has he never put on a...
I said, Swigard, I saw that photo this morning when I woke up, yeah. and I'm having my morning coffee, and I'm sitting there going, I was stunned, and it took me about 30 minutes... to think of what might have been going through his head to put the 1080 the Fan table skirt yeah. on the way he did.
Yeah.
How far up your ass is your head? I mean, I'm like, dude, what is this?
It looks a little suspect.
A little? Yeah. Who puts a table skirt on that way?
Never seen anything like it.
Well, then he fixed it and tweeted out another picture where it's like, well, why didn't you do that the first time? What is going through your head? How is that the choice?
He put it, we've cleaned it up now that we're settled in.
Jesus, man. Well, there's 2 tables there.
Yeah.
And so he, in his infinite wisdom, he decided to put it over both tables that the 1080, it doesn't fit. You can't. So then he just finally took it and put it on one table and then just moved the other table back. It's just like, Jesus, man. It's like dealing with a 3-year-old.
Oh, I just love
What are you thinking?
I just love that our first Big Ten Media Day is off to a rousing
It's not going well for 1080 the Fans.
To be fair, it sounds like the conference deserves plenty of blame.
And more importantly, Swag did get free beef jerky today, so we're doing great.
The Pac-12 had their stuff together.
Yeah.
The Big Ten does not, and apparently Swigard basically just has to go and grab people and drag them over to our table, and they're all stronger than him, and they are not being dragged.
Yeah,
here's the situation.
They don't know who Swag is. None of the hosts are there. It's just an empty table with a headset. It's not going well.
Hold on,
Swag's
everybody.
Swag's probably wearing a bunch of UP Portland gear. That they don't. They're like, who that? You know,
he's got to at least be in a 1080 polo, right?
I don't know about that.
Ooh, I don't know. That's another good one. Chances are he's in a 1080 polo, or he's in University of Portland, or possibly Hillsboro Hops gear.
Well, based on his judgment with the table skirt, I'm guessing he's wearing
UP
gear.
Or possibly like a old hoopla. Let's not discount that.
The Salem hoopla,
or maybe like some sort of radiothon with this Special Olympics hat. No one loves free stuff more than Swag. So let's just hope that he's wearing. Do we even have 1080 the Fan polos anymore?
No.
Well, he probably does.
We had a bunch of them back in the day, but
yeah,
probably some homeless guy wearing mine. I took him to Goodwill.
I think Jeff Austin still wears his from time to time. I see that on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll show up at a golf tournament wearing the Fan
polo. Well, I was listening to shirt. Danny and Dusty yesterday, and they were talking some Big Ten football. And it was an interesting conversation. They were talking about really the most interesting aspect of these West Coast teams joining the Big Ten, and that is just the style differences.
Yeah.
And how cool that's going to be to see what that does to the Big Ten, how the Pac-12 teams adjust to the Big Ten, and how the Big Ten teams adjust to the Pac-12 team. I mean, Dan Lanning said it. He came out and he said, look, the Pac-12 has the skill guys,
mm-hmm,
and the quarterbacks. The Big Ten has the big hog mollies. I believe he called them fatties.
I don't think that's what he said.
No, but he didn't. And then the SEC has both. The SEC has it all.
And that's why the SEC is the best conference.
And that's what he said. And so it is true, like when you think of Big Ten football, you think of big fronts.
Yeah.
And
bad weather in November, running the
football. So then
Iowa punts.
So I was listening to Danny and Dusty talk about this, and I got to thinking, and as I was driving in my car, and I thought, wow, you know, what if Oregon goes in there and just, like, I kept thinking about the Civil War, mm-hmm, a couple years ago, where Oregon State basically said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to run the ball, and then we're going to run it again, and then we're going to run it again, and then we're going to run it again and again and again and again. We're never going to throw it, and we're going to come back from 80 down and beat you. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Well, I got thinking about that going, oh, my God, Oregon State and that team, in fairness, they had a really good run game and a really good offensive line. But they basically Big Ten'd the S out of Oregon to win that Civil War game.
100%.
And so I thought, well, is Oregon really ready for this? So I had to go do some digging on some numbers.
Sure.
Okay. And the answer to the question, is Oregon ready for the Big Ten, is very likely yes. Because I was going back to what Oregon State did to Oregon a few years ago, just running it down their throat. And then I was thinking about Michigan last year and how Michigan beat Penn State. Basically, J.J. McCarthy didn't throw the ball in the second half.
Yeah.
They just said, hey, we're just going to run it down your throat. Stop it. Well, I looked up Penn State. They had the number one rush defense in the nation last year.
Mm-hmm.
The number one rush defense in the nation. And Michigan just said, stop it. You cannot stop our run.
No.
That's crazy.
Well, and also, too, that you're able to do that when the other team can't score. Like, there's two components to that. Yes, running the ball down someone's throat is grand and bleeding clock, but you also have your defense bow your back. So, you know, if you're trying to run the ball like that, but you're trailing by 10 points in the game, that doesn't work. That's the Iowa thing. When Iowa's able to drag you into a slugfest, great, but Iowa also gets their ass kicked when the other team can score against you. So,
well, they have a good defense, though.
And that's why Michigan won a national championship, is Michigan's offense was there when they needed it. We saw that. You know, we saw that in the first half against Washington.
But I think with Iowa, I think that's the fun part about watching these West Coast schools in the Big Ten, is how will those offenses look again consistently week in and week out against the Iowas and the Michigans and the Wisconsin defenses.
Yes, absolutely.
It's going to be awesome. But then on the other side, so I was looking at that. Penn State had the number one rush defense in the country. They got torched by Michigan's run, but you're right. They also couldn't move the ball. The second fun fact I looked up was, do you know who the highest ranked Big Ten team in rush yards per game was last year? Because you think of all they do is run the ball.
Yeah, I would assume Michigan. I mean,
it was not.
It wasn't?
No. It was Nebraska, and they were 34th in the country.
That was the best rushing attack, huh?
Yes, in the entire league.
Well, that surprises me a bit.
So this idea that the Big Ten, oh my God, the rushing attacks, it wasn't that wasn't the case last year. Mm. Fun fact number three is that Oregon last year would have been third in the Big Ten in rush offense. They were ahead of Michigan.
Wow.
Oregon was.
I wouldn't have necessarily thought that, but Oregon, you know, and that's the other one I think that is a misnomer about Oregon over the last handful of years. Dude, Oregon runs the ball. They ran the ball under Mario Cristobal. They certainly run it under Dan Lanning.
Well, they do, but again, I think there's a difference between running the ball in the Pac-12
yes.
and running the ball in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
That's the whole fun of this.
Yeah.
So the last fact is CBS Sports did a ranking of each unit in the Big Ten. Do you care to guess who has the number one offensive line in the Big Ten this year?
I'm guessing Oregon.
It's Oregon.
Yeah.
So the idea of, is Oregon ready for the Big Ten because of, you know, the big offensive lines, the big defensive fronts, running the football? The answer is yes.
Yeah, it is.
They're 100% ready, which is why they're picked to be second to Ohio State in the league.
And most people are picking Ohio State to win a national championship. And, I mean, both teams, by the way, are picked to make the college football playoff. But, and that's something that they've talked about with Lanning when people say, and I totally get it. Again, why is Lanning being considered as one of the elite coaches? He hasn't won anything. And those are all totally fair. It's more of, I think people look at what he took over and what he's building, especially along the lines. Their defensive line and their offensive line are both going to be really good.
Yeah.
And they've killed it in the transfer portal at both of those spots to fill in. And then they've recruited really well.
Well, but this is the fun of going to the Big Ten is that while their offensive line and defensive lines are both really good, they had Oregon the number one offensive line in the Big Ten. They had Oregon the number four defensive line in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
The beauty of it is they will be tested by two of the better offensive lines and defensive lines in the country in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
When they play Ohio State, well, actually, the Michigan game is really, we're kind of overlooking that game because everybody wants to talk about Ohio State coming to Eugene.
It's first, and it's in Eugene, yeah.
But that Michigan game, November 2nd, mm-hmm. at the Big House, is the number one offensive line versus the number one defensive line.
Yeah.
That's Oregon's offensive line against Michigan's defensive line. Dude, that is going to be a battle.
And I know it's you know, it's not the same group because so many left for the NFL, but I think we all remember Michigan's defensive line just absolutely hammering both Alabama and UW in last year's playoffs. I mean, that line was really, really special. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, but I just don't think that Oregon is going to get overwhelmed. I know some people are like, well, Oregon's going to lose four games and it's a rough awakening, a rude awakening. I think they'll be fine.
Well, I don't know about overwhelmed. They have too much talent to be overwhelmed, but I do think it will be an interesting transition with the styles of play in this league and the weather as the season progresses to see how Oregon handles that.
It is true. Like we always talk about going, the only real place that's problematic is early in the season in Arizona. Those are hot, but those are always night games. But it's hot playing down in the desert early in the season. And then there's only one treacherous road trip, and that is late in the season up in Pullman. And the Big Ten is littered with those. If you think Pullman in November is hard, wait till you go to Camp Randall and you go to some of these other places. So, I mean, it you know, Michigan, you know, late in the year, it will be a different style. And again, that's where it comes in. It behooves you to be physical. And I think that's the idea in the Big Ten. It's the same thing when you play, you know, in some of the northern cities in the NFL, you have to be able to be physical and run the ball because throwing the ball is challenging late in the year. And I think this Oregon team is uniquely built to hit the ground running as opposed to maybe some of the other versions of it. Because it may be known as a real flashy kind of, you know, like high, what did you say, like, it's all flash, no substance. But when you look at the history of Oregon, look at their old linemen and the running backs that they have produced over the last 15 years.
Well, I think, too, that's gotten a lot better with Lanning. Lanning comes from the SEC. He
knows.
And it's been building. But when Chip had this thing rolling, they're way better in the trenches now than they were then.
Yes.
And that's part of part of you got to give Cristobal
credit.
Some credit for that.
Cuz he
but Lanning has built upon that.
Yes. Cristobal came in and said specifically, dude, we need to get better up front because he also came from the SEC.
Yeah.
And Lanning has built upon
that. And he was an offensive lineman, he recruited some offensive, but Lanning has has added to that, and they are just way better suited against the big boys of college football now than they ever were.
Yes.
Which is why everyone has such faith in them. But I just think that it's going to be interesting, the week in and week out stuff. Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, Ohio State, yeah, Michigan, but you also play at Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Illinois, Maryland, I'm not saying these teams are going to beat you, but look, even in the Pac-12, you would have close games. They played a close game with Washington State last year.
Yep.
Is that any different than playing, you know, than Illinois? Or, you know,
well, and we've had this conversation with Joey. You know, we can go back and forth on which one is the tougher run, and now you kind of get to see it, right? Like, you know, you don't get to see Arizona, you don't get to see Utah, but you do get to see Wisconsin, and you get to see, you know, Purdue, or you get to see Illinois or Northwestern or any of these schools, and it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I am really excited to just see different teams.
Yeah, it's the styles.
The styles.
That's the fun of it, yeah. I think, is the styles make fights, and just the flash and the skill of the Pac-12 meeting up with and marrying the big fronts of the Big Ten and the little bit more smash-mouth physical football. Yeah. It's going to be awesome.
And by the way, if Wisconsin goes, because you're in Wisconsin, if Wisconsin, you know, bullies you around, then that's going to be a bit of a wake-up call. And by the way, that very well could happen.
But that's later in the year.
It's later in the year. So that's what I'm saying. You know, maybe that does happen. And then you have to take a step back and be like, man, we need to reevaluate that. Which is why it's so fun going into the season, because there's so many unknowns. We just don't know how the stylistically these things are gonna line up.
Well, I'll give you the rest of the CBS Sports did the Big Ten position and coach rankings for 2024, all 18 teams. And we'll see where Oregon ranked in each one when we return. But first, Buck.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
With SportsCenter. Well, I was kind of right. Brian Reynolds did not hit a home run.
No, he did not.
But the Pirates have tied it up.
Yeah. So Skeens will be off the hook. I can't imagine he's going to pitch in the ninth. They haven't even let him pitch into the ninth with no hitters.
I think his pitch count's really low tonight, though. It's only like 91, so maybe.
So Skeens right now with a no decision.
So CBS Sports ranked QB, skill position, O-line, D-line, linebacker, DB, and coach for each Big Ten team. As we mentioned, Oregon is the number one offensive line in the Big Ten. Ohio State 2, Penn State 3. QB, Oregon number one.
Yeah.
Dylan Gabriel. Well,
there's not a lot of, when you look at the Big Ten, I mean, Ohio State, who's being picked to win the national championship by a lot of places. I mean, Will Howard, who was a good quarterback at Kansas State, but let's, you know, it's not Joe Burrow or anything. I mean,
He's not even number two.
You know, Michigan's got a brand new one.
Who's Michigan's quarterback?
They got that young kid. I mean, there could be multiple that play. He's got a little bit of a weird name.
They've got Aiden Childs ahead of him.
Yeah, Aiden Childs at Michigan State, so he's a freshman. Well, I guess he'd be a. Is he a redshirt freshman?
Yes.
I don't think he burned a year in the few games he played. So obviously, him coming over from Oregon State. Gosh, I keep forgetting the Michigans. I just had it in front of me.
A kid named Kurt Campbell. Oh, no, that's the offensive coordinator. Never mind.
No, it's not Campbell.
Trying to find out, too.
Buck in his $7 shorts over there.
That's right.
Do you know Buck's wearing $7 shorts?
That's right.
Where do you buy $7 shorts?
Yes. We talked about this. Where do you think?
Oh, did you buy Costco shorts?
I sure did, and they're fantastic.
He loves them.
Oh, for God's sakes. No, it's Alex Orji. And that may be, you know, it's O-R-J-I.
But how else would you say that, though?
Is his name Orji? Alex Orji?
Or Hi? Or he?
Yeah, and he's a big kid. He's like Cam Newton size. He's like 6'3", 230.
That sucks.
Dual threat kid out of Texas. So I think he's won the job or is expected to win the job, but there could be others that go.
So they've got Michigan ninth at quarterback. So the top quarterback is Oregon, 2 Penn State, Drew Aller, and 3 Ohio State.
Well, and that's another one too, in that Aller was supposed to be, like, last year the idea was that the only thing Penn State has lacked is a big time quarterback, and Aller was this 5-star kid. He sucked. I don't know if anyone watched him play, but every time I tuned into Penn State, he was terrible, including that game against Michigan where Michigan refused to throw the ball because they didn't have to, because Penn State could do nothing. So maybe he has a breakout year, but dude, he was not some sort of phenom last year. And so they just, the quarterback play in the Big Ten is not great. You know, so that's one thing that with USC and with Oregon and UW coming over, when you look at the history of quarterback play, the Big Ten better adjust, because there's real quarterbacks that are coming from the West. UCLA, maybe not so much.
Skill positions, Oregon, number 1 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Ohio State, 2. Penn State, 3. We mentioned offensive line. Defensive line, Oregon ranks 4th. The top defensive line in the league is Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Number 2, Michigan. Number 3, Penn State. Then you get to linebacker. Oregon ranks 5th.
Yeah, that would probably, if you're looking at a weak spot on the Oregon defense, it would be at linebacker.
Number 1, Iowa.
Well, again, no surprise there. I'm surprised Oregon's not, or Iowa's not higher, because their defense is good every single year.
Number 2, Penn State. 3, Ohio State. Then you go to DB, and Oregon is 4th, Ohio State 1st, followed by Iowa, and then Michigan. And then last is coach, and they have Ryan Day, 1, Dan Lanning, 2.
So Lanning ahead of, like, James Franklin. And while I do like Dan Lanning, that's where...
Might be a little too much.
I think some of that Lanning stuff is a bit much. I really like Dan Lanning.
They don't even have James Franklin 3rd.
Who do they have as 3rd? Are you going Ferentz? Are you going Bielema?
Lincoln Riley?
Oh, yeah, yep. Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley.
And by the way, yeah, I know some of the shines come off Lincoln Riley. He hasn't been terrible at USC, and he was really good at Oklahoma, although I think there's some pressure. The next year or two for USC is pretty big, because USC is kind of an afterthought right now.
Something seems like it's not right there. They're complaining about not being able to get recruits. It's like, do you guys not have money? Why?
It hasn't been great. And now you're going into the Big Ten, and I think they were picked 5th, right, in the Big Ten media polls, if I'm not mistaken.
USC was 6th, I think.
They were 6th?
They were behind Iowa.
So, like, that's not where you want to be. Like, if you're USC and like, you were going to make this big splash, and you didn't want Oregon to join the Big Ten, and now Oregon's in the Big Ten and they're taking all your thunder, I just think it's a weird time at USC. And I'm not saying that Lincoln Riley is on a hot seat or anything, but I think this is a pretty big year for him. Because if you go into the Big Ten and you get drubbed and you end up finishing, I don't know, let's say you end up 8-4 or something like that, not certain how long the goodwill at USC is going to be built up, because you just had supposedly this generational player and Heisman Trophy winner and Caleb Williams, and it really didn't lead to a whole lot of anything. Got your ass kicked in the Pac-12 title game 2 years ago by Utah.
Your defense has been an absolute sieve. You're ripping through coordinators.
Yeah, and now you go out and you spend this money, you go out and get UCLA's coordinator, and supposedly everything was going to change, but you can't get any defensive recruits now. They seem to be leaving in spades, and you're going into the Big Ten, and again, you're an afterthought. So just keep an eye on that.
Problem for Jonathan Smith. His offensive line ranks 15th in the league, and his defensive line 16th.
The only thing I'll say about Jonathan Smith at Michigan State is what he did at Oregon State, he does that at Michigan State, they're going to be a tough out in a couple years. Michigan State has way more resources. It's a better recruiting bed, and Michigan State has been a proven winner. You know, people forget that when you look through the Big Ten championships over the last 15 years, the one outlier in there is Michigan State that did it 3 times.
They popped up there a lot.
Michigan State had a run there under D'Antonio. That was a sneaky good program. I mean, they bitch slapped Michigan. They owned Michigan for like 6 years where they were the big brother in that matchup. And then it kind of fell off a little bit and he lost some coordinators and, you know, and obviously they've gone a different direction. But dude, Michigan State is has resources. So just Jonathan Smith, much like he did at Oregon State, got no fanfare, no nothing. And he just kind of built that thing and built that thing and built that thing. And by the way, he beat Dan Lanning, you know, with a team that was inferior to him. So don't write off. In fact, I was looking at some Big Ten predictions. Someone had like 10 storylines, and they called it flat out. They said that Michigan State is going to beat one of the big three. He'll call it a shot right now. He said, all Jonathan Smith does is win games that he shouldn't win and build good programs, and he's got Aiden Childs, and it's a transfer portal-heavy roster, which is what happened with Mel Tucker. Brought in a lot of transfers, and they just said Michigan State's not going to be great, but that's one of their predictions is they'll get a pelt on the wall. So don't sleep on Jonathan Smith at Michigan State. I know everyone loves to make fun of him for leaving Oregon State, but there's a reason why he left. Michigan State is an underrated program. Michigan State's a lot closer to Wisconsin than it is to Oregon State.
Well, this scene in Pittsburgh is wild. Skeens is in there in the ninth. They just threw out a guy trying to stretch to a double at second, although I think he was safe. But he's at 97 pitches, and he's pitching the night. The crowd's going nuts. It's a cool game.
Well,
tied 1-1.
And Skeens is one of those guys now that whether it's your team or not, like the other team cheers for him.
Yeah.
Like Skeens is must see TV.
Yeah, yeah, he's safe. He's safe 100%. For sure. If you're wondering about Washington real quick, they're ranking all 18 teams in the Big Ten. Washington's best rank is fifth at QB.
Yeah.
And they're about middle of the pack everywhere else, ninth in coach.
See, that's another one, too, that I find weird. So Will Rogers, who is one of the all-time career leaders, if not, I think he might be the all-time leading passing leader, yards-wise, in the SEC. He's fifth?
Yeah, they got him fifth. USC fourth.
So they got Aiden Childs ahead of...
No, Childs was eighth.
Oh, Childs was eighth.
Yeah.
So that's...
So it goes Oregon, Oregon, Penn State,
yeah.
Ohio State, USC, and Washington.
See, that's just... That's silly that you have Drew Aller over Will Rogers. It's just incorrect. That's just dumb. All that is you're saying the one... He was a five-star kid and he plays at Penn State, therefore he's a better quarterback, because it's just not true.
And then UCLA, terrible. I mean, they're bottom of the barrel at pretty much everything.
Well, I mean... The dirty little secret is, do Chip Kelly tank that program on purpose out of spite? I mean, I know that's it's a weird thing to say, but it's the truth.
He wanted out so bad he just stopped doing his job.
Yes. Yes. He quiet quit at UCLA, making whatever it was, like $6 million a year. And Ryan Day came out today and said that he trusts Chip Kelly with his life.
What a quote. I heard that too. I'm like, wait. I mean, you don't have to go that far, do you?
No, I'll tell you what. I mean,
you guys shut up.
I mean, I guess he trusts Ryan Day, but hopefully Chip doesn't get disinterested, because I've never seen a coach quiet quit like that. I mean, we've seen coaches quit. Look at Gary Anderson. But to just stop recruiting, to just stop and be like, no, I'm not doing this.
Shut up.
While interviewing for every job. I mean, he left UCLA in shambles. And it's not like UCLA, by the way, has ever, like, when's the last time UCLA was really relevant? I mean, maybe Mora, you know, winning 8-9 games a year and getting your ass kicked in a Pac-12 title game.
I thought Dorian Thompson-Robinson won 10 games at one point.
Maybe with a bowl game.
Yeah.
And Jim Mora won like 9 games for like 3 years in a row. Dude, UCLA is not a traditionally great program, and now you're going into the Big Ten, and you have to split some of your money with Cal. Remember, you got to write that check. So
Chip never won 10 there.
No. No. So I feel bad for UCLA. UCLA is just going to go in there, and they were an afterthought in the Pac-12. They're going to be an afterthought in the Big Ten.
All right. We will wrap up Big Ten Media Day talk coming up next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.